And I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I've reflected on the gospel reading set for today a fair bit over the years. I grew up in a parish dedicated to St Andrew, so we had this middle part of the reading fairly regularly at our patronal festivals, as well as this third Sunday after Epiphany, whenever it occurs in the three-year lectionary cycle. Various aspects of this reading have struck me over the years. That the disciples immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. The type of people that Jesus called to follow him. The fact that this account of the calling of Andrew and Simon in Matthew's Gospel is quite different in character from the way we heard it in John's Gospel last week. But for today, I want to reflect on the way that Jesus came into the everyday life of those first disciples who would become part of Jesus' ministry on earth among his closest friends. Jesus didn't set up his initial recruitment office in the local synagogue and then call out to people to come to him there. Jesus was out where the people were working and invited them to follow him, to be part of what he was going to do with his time on earth. Jesus came to people in their ordinary lives. Jesus brought the hope of the kingdom of God to Simon, Andrew, James and John into their sweaty, smelly, working lives as fishermen. And just as he did for those first disciples, believe it or not, Jesus will find us in our ordinary lives. Jesus can call to us while we are preparing a meal. Jesus can call to us while we type away at the computer. Jesus can call to us while we're having a meeting with a client, or while caring for grandchildren, or while sitting with someone in an interview room. Jesus will call to us wherever we are. I've heard it said by various people, usually to my face, that the church needs to go out where people are if it is going to survive, rather than expect people to come to it. I agree, but I would also respond that it already goes where the people are. There are chaplains in hospitals, schools, universities and prisons. There are chaplains deployed with our defence forces. One woman I studied with at Trinity College is currently on the HMAS Toowoomba as a Navy chaplain. Another of my classmates is currently in East Gippsland with the reservists who are there to help the communities devastated by bushfire. But my main response to the observation that the church should go where the people are is this. The church is the people who are part of it. And those people are where the people are. That's each and every one of you, by the way. Showing God's love in the world, following the way of Jesus Christ, is not exclusively the purview of ordained women and men that get to wear fancy robes, stand up in front of you, and lead you in worship. The church is present in everyday lives because people are living their everyday lives. It is part of the Christian calling to live as a Christian wherever we find ourselves and whatever we find ourselves doing with our day. St. Paul himself worked as a tent maker, as well as planting churches and sharing the gospel of good news with the Gentiles. It may not always feel obvious to you in the midst of it, but there is always a need to be open to what God is calling you to in your everyday life. As part of my daily devotion since Epiphany, I've been using an app produced by the Church of England called Everyday Faith. If you're interested, there's details in this week's pew sheet. I'm finding it an interesting and useful journey. A number of Christians have shared their stories about the way their faith has an impact on their workplace and their daily activities. There's the hairdresser, who quietly prays for her customers as she does their hair. There's the nurse who works in the emergency department of a hospital. There's the member of the police force who struggled to work out how protecting number 10 was part of fulfilling God's calling. There's the retired couple who have adventures while using their free bus pass. And there's the tradie who, while installing a TV cable, was able to be in the right place at the right time for someone who had just been diagnosed with a terminal illness. I would encourage you to explore this resource for yourselves if you're interested, but I will share one of the stories with you now because I find it a good illustration of how a person of faith can be empowered by that faith in their everyday work life. This is Gabby's story. The helicopter pilot has radioed ahead so they knew she was coming in. Joan, mid-40s, a farmer, arm dangling off after an encounter with a chainsaw. Gabby is the head nurse, hugely experienced, a trainer of emergency nurses, and she will lead the triage team. Joan is wheeled in, losing lots of blood, pulse high, blood pressure plummeting, breathing erratic. There are two priorities. Keep her alive, try to save the arm. Gabby has seen scores of patients in comparable high jeopardy situations, and they are usually very compliant with the medical team. They do exactly what they're told. They answer questions quickly. They focus. Curiously, Joan seems preoccupied. Her mind is elsewhere, and Gabby is puzzled. She realises that there's something going on beyond her professional expertise to deal with, and she prays, "Why, Lord?" God says, "Ask her." So Gabby asks a woman whose arm is dangling off with a high pulse, plummeting blood pressure and erratic breathing, what seems an absurd question. "Joan, what else is going on for you at the moment?" And Joan says, "No one can look after my dogs tonight." Joan's arm is dangling off, but she is worried about her dogs. So Gabby says, "We'll sort that," and tells a nurse to get a message to Joan's emergency contact immediately. Joan's blood pressure stabilizes, her pulse goes down, and her breathing becomes more regular. Joan lived. The team saved her arms, and the dogs were fed. Now, our everyday life might not be as dramatic as Gabby's, but God still cares about what we do each and every day, not just when we gather together in worship. Our faith may give us a perspective beyond what everyone else in our workplace sees in a particular situation. God and Jesus will come to us in the everyday and call us to follow. If we are open to it, God and Jesus will use what we do every day to show God's love and care in the world. As the living body of Christ, we are called to enter into the ordinary lives of others, as well as to live our ordinary lives in a way that shows the transforming and hopeful power of God's love for us and our love for God. We do this in our worship, and we do this in our living. It doesn't matter if our lives are full of the sweat and smells of fishing or the clickety-clack of keyboards. Jesus is just as happy to enter our lives and seek relationship with us, and then through us, reach out to the people who do not yet realize the transforming power of God's love. We need to be ready to respond in faith through our actions as well as our words in a way that shows the hope of Jesus Christ in a meaningful way. In partnership with the invitation to come and see that we heard about in the gospel reading last week, there is also the need for us, all of us, to go out and be. To be the Christian presence in the world that counteracts the perception of hypocrisy and intolerance, which can dominate the narrative in the public sphere. Jesus will enter into our everyday and call us to follow. Jesus will enter into the everyday of other people and call them to follow. And while those first disciples left their nets to follow Jesus, we can fulfill God's will for us, continuing in our everyday, through the power of the God who is Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.